We are back on the Where Eagles Dare podcast.
Yes, sir.
With our new schedule, where we now break it up. We do the recap one day, and we do the preview next day. Gives us time to where we're not talking for three straight hours about a previous game and the recap. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Great to be back. With me, as always, is my boy Tubby. How you doing tonight, Tubby?
Doing good, man. Like Greg said, it's your boy Tubby. Coming off that win now. I'm going to break it down, break it up a little bit. I'm still happy about that win. I like going into the next week with another win, man. And like you said, man, breaking it down, breaking it up a little bit. That way we can come in with two different raw emotions, one aftermath of the game and the new fresh approach, optimistic going into the next week, no matter who we're playing.
Right. I mean, yeah, you hope the team feels that way, that the team's energized. I mean, they went into that Lion game really energized. They came up, they had a high energy level from the jump. So we hope that that carries forward into this week, where our opponent will be the Los Angeles Chargers. But before we get into that, let's do the business part of the show. Welcome, everyone, to the Where Eagles Dare podcast. We're here on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and we're on Twitch. And we're glad to have you here tonight, if you're here. Wherever you get your live streaming services from, we're glad to have you. We also are on all kinds of podcast services. So if you're just watching us on Twitch and you want to get us on the podcast, you can get us on Audible, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcaster, Castro, and many, many more. Just look up your podcast provider, and if you don't see them, let us know at our email address at lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. Send us a message, and we will try to get on that podcast service as well. You can also use that email address just to send us comments, suggestions, and just tell us if we stink or not, you know, that you don't like the show. We appreciate any type of feedback, constructive or otherwise. So, yeah, so this week we have got a pretty decent opponent in the Los Angeles Chargers coming to the link. So it's going to be a shootout, I think. What do you think? Just your initial, before we get into the real breakdown, what's your just on the surface feelings about this game?
Winnable.
Yeah.
It's a winnable game. Got a team coming off of two losses, so it's winnable. That's my initial reaction to it. Got a young quarterback, second-year quarterback, and it's winnable. So, yeah, man, what you think going into this?
You know, the bad thing is that except for 2017, it's like every week I'm nervous. I'm nervous about anything because this is it. The Eagles mean so much. As far as, like, every sporting team I root for, they're the pinnacle. I would give up every championship of every team I ever had, ever saw win a championship just to see the Eagles continually to be successful, if not just win Super Bowls. So I get a little squirrely when a good passer comes to town, but they're struggling right now, so that makes me feel good. So it like we said, I think before we came on, it could go either way, you know, and so that's where I'm at. It's like I just want to – I'm in this wait-and-see mode. Let's see how they come out after what they did to the Lions. Can they repeat that, or was that just a fluke? Were the Lions just really that bad, or did the Eagles right the ship last week? So that's going to be interesting to see. So what we're going to do is look at this game and kind of break it down for our listeners to kind of explain where we think the key matchups are and just to look at the Chargers in general. I actually rewatched their game from this past week against the Patriots, and I saw enough that kind of gave me an insight to who they are, at least last week. I mean, the week before, they got blown out by the Ravens, so I didn't look at that game because that's kind of misleading. They played the Patriots blow for blow, and so we'll talk about that a little bit. But here's a quick look at their stat leaders and our stat leader. We have Justin Herbert, of course, is their quarterback, and he's thrown for 284 yards a game, roughly. And Jalen Hurts has been thrown for 227, but that they don't take into account the 54 yards rushing per game because he's actually our leading rusher. And theirs is Austin Eckler, so you got to watch out for him. Eckler is one of those guys that can also catch out of the backfield, so he's dangerous. And then you've got Williams, their top receiver at 73 yards a game, and ours is Devontae Smith with 52.6. Some other stats to look at. These are some key ones. Points per game. I mean, if you look at all of the stats right here on this slide, it's fairly even across the board. If you look at points per game, we're sitting at 25. They're at 24.6. So we're 12th and they're 15th in the league as far as points. Points against, we're 191. They're 177. They're 17th. We're 21st. Yards per game, 360 yards per game, 19th. They're a little bit higher, 389, and they're 12th. Passing yards per game, this is where there's a little bit of disparity because the Eagles have not really had tons of success in the air. We're 228 per game at 29th in the league, and they're 284 at 6th. Looking at rushing yards, we're better than them in this category, especially after that Lions game. 131.6, that's where Jalen Hurts comes into play a little bit. And then they're at 104.4, where they're sitting at 18th. So those numbers kind of even out if you look at that. In time of possession, we're pretty bad at time of possession right now, 24th. But they're even worse at time of possession. They're sitting at 31st at only holding the ball, next to last in the league. Sacks, fairly even. We're at 17 sacks. Those 5 sacks in Detroit sure helped that number. 16th in the league. They're at 14 with 25th. And then interception, we're dead tied 6-6. So on those surface, those numbers kind of show kind of an even matchup across the board. At least that's the way I see it. And then looking at their recent games, we've got, of course, our win against Detroit, and then the Chargers are coming off of 2 straight losses. The 27-24 to the New England just this past week, that was in L.A., and then the drubbing that they got at the hands of the Baltimore Ravens. Prior to that, they had a really good shootout with Cleveland, 147-42. That was a pretty good game. And then Las Vegas, they beat the Raiders at home 28-14, where we lost to the Raiders 22-33. We kind of got beat down by the Raiders. So if you look at 4 weeks ago, this team was probably much better than they currently are right now. But they've started to have a slide. I don't know why that is. I don't. Did you check out the Patriots game at all, or you look at the highlights or anything?
I did watch the Patriots game, but even if I go back just a few games, I know you said they got smashed against the Ravens. They didn't look good against the Ravens. Yeah. Then it was the one game where they came back last minute. I don't know if the Colts or the Titans, but they had that one where Eckler scored 3 touchdowns in the 4th quarter. This team could very well be coming off of a 3-game losing streak, but because Herbert, they do have a passing attack with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, which didn't, Keenan Allen is still dangerous, and Jared Cook can hit you here and there for a few yards at tight end, just bring him up because it's a position that we've been struggling with almost every week. Hockenson had a good week last week, and Moreau did for the Raiders as well, too. So, just looking across it, man, but Chargers definitely went from one of the most dangerous teams to a pretty average team over the last few weeks. At least they've come down off of like being an AFC favorite. One of the things you pointed out was that, they beat 2 teams that we've lost to, Kansas City Chiefs and the Raiders. They won those games pretty handily as well. So they look really good in those games. And I think that's what set them up to have, for teams to expect them to win. But when you look at last week, that game didn't really get going until the second half. It was kind of a little bit of back and forth. Harris scored the first touchdown. Then it was just kind of, Jones and Herbert throwing the ball all over the place. Just nothing really consistent. Then that second half, they got going because I think the Patriots scored on defense. They had a pick 6 against Herbert. I think they just had other ways to score other than, their offense. I think Mac Jones maybe had 1 touchdown last week. I'm not even sure about that. But what they did do is they got to Herbert. And I think that's been, some of the reasons why they've been on this slide, man. I think this is a winnable game. I think any team we're going to go up against this year, our passing stats are going to look worse than theirs until we change our offense or the things that – I just think we're set up to run the ball. I think that's what we do well. And every game that we end up running somewhat well, we end up winning those games, whether it's Jalen Hurts or the trio that we had, last week. So,
well, the interesting thing about that New England game, you're right, they started out and it was kind of back and forth. I think it was 7-7 for the longest time, and they were just kind of trading blows. The game got really exciting in the second half, and I think actually I wrote down my notes of what I thought after looking at that, what I thought won it for New England, and it was the pick 6 definitely affected the outcome. because that put him on top. And then the tough defense was basically getting to Herbert. They held him to 228 passing yards, which was pretty good. And I think Mac Jones didn't fare much better. So he was in the same reap. So it was really a lot of the ground game going back and forth. Mac Jones, what I noticed was he put the ball, he was dropping dimes pretty good when he did need to complete passes. So he didn't have a lot of high yardage, but he had some key passes, what I saw, that he put it in the right position. So I looked at their kind of pass defense. But what I noticed about the Chargers' pass defense in that game is that they do play up a little bit. I mean, they don't play back like we particularly do. So what it does is it gives you those options. If you do have an accurate quarterback, can drop it in over the defense, it plays into their hands. I don't know if we have that in Jalen Hurts. I think Hurts likes to have the receiver with a clear lane where he can kind of zing it in there. You know, like we've talked about, he doesn't really time his passes very much. He just kind of waits till his receiver gets open. And that comes with time.
Right.
But, you know, like I say, so that as far as that goes, I think that's helpful. And then we also saw, you see the stat that the Chargers run D and you know, Harris kind of, you know, did really well against him. They did hold him compared to other running backs, but they have a run defense that can be exploited. So it's just a matter of, do we come back and do that again this week and actually run the ball? So I did make those notes. I thought it was an interesting game. That game could have gone either way. The pick six definitely affected the outcome. Yeah, so when it comes to us, we'll just have to see where it goes. So why don't we get right into Tubby's keys to victory in the game, and let's break these down real quick.
Yes, sir. So basically, you know, looking at this, man, just look at what we do well and what the team that we're facing, what teams have done to beat them. Coming off a two-game losing streak, the Chargers, you know, that's always a good thing. But running the ball, if we can run the ball like we did last week, which is their weakness, we can control the clock, we can keep their better passer off the field, if you will. And it's still crazy that Herbert still has more starts than Jalen Hurts does. You know, he had all last year. He set the rookie record in passing last year. So, you know, even though we think of Jalen Hurts as being a more mature quarterback, Justin Herbert still has more starts. So if we're going to beat them, we have to run the ball. Simple as that. Scott, Howard, and Hurts. You know, I like to see at least 50 yards from Hurts, or at least making the key. I don't want to designate him to run, but at least have it open. Look for that pass first, stay in the pocket, and run the ball. But more basically designated runs. If you got a team that can't stop the run like the Chargers, last in the league, definitely got to run the ball. It's a no-brainer. Constant pressure. In the last two games, Herbert's been sacked 5 times, and he's been hit or pressured about 20 times in total. So when we say, you know, what's been the issue with Herbert, or how's he throw for 220 yards, we got sacked 3 times last week, and he got hit another 6 times on top of that. And that's 9 times of getting touched for a young quarterback. And, you know, they don't typically like that. You know, the Ravens had a lot of pressure on him as well, too. And the Ravens ran the ball well against them. That's what kept them, too. Because I went against Herbert in fantasy that week when they played the Ravens. So I know firsthand what he did. He got like 20 points because I needed it. Because I limped away with the win because Herbert had such a bad game, because Mahomes hasn't been lighting it up for me. But anyway, we get sacks on there. Basically, dude, we did to Jared Goff. Get pressure early and often and not give up those gaps where Eckler can get the dump offs and take them for 10 yards like the other teams have been doing, so that we pointed out in past weeks, man. We're going to need Hurts to throw the ball, man. If he has less than 100 yards at the end of the first half, then I hope that means we ran the ball well. He's going to have to hit Devontae Smith more earlier and often, man. He's just too much of a weapon to just not target heavily. Goddard, I think, is going to be key for us this week. I really do. With those intermediate passes like you talked about, those 15-yard passes, he hit those last week a few times. Goddard had a hell of a game last week. And I think if we can get those intermediate passes, they don't give up the deep ball a lot. So those underneath passes, the slants, our quick receivers, maybe this works into our favor, doing those little intermediate passes and those slants off the line, man, to really get us some momentum. And, man, Allen and Williams, man, these are two big physical receivers. Extremely hard to cover. They are physical, and they seem to be a problem for a lot of teams, man. Now, luckily this year we haven't had problems with big receivers like Evans. Evans didn't have a big game against us, but Antonio Brown did. So just got to watch out for that, man. If our safeties play well, if Epps, you know, still plays well and you know, just stays back on the ball and gives those guys some help, I don't think single safety is it for this one. So I think we have to do two safeties here because they're just too dangerous, and passing is their strong suit. Just hope we don't open up those pockets again for Eckler on the outside, man. So we run the ball, get that constant pressure on Herbert because he's still a young quarterback. Jalen Hurts has to show a solid passing game this week, and we have to win the battle in our corners against their wide receivers. And, you know, last few weeks, Eckler hasn't done much. He hasn't done much. He didn't do much last week. So I think if we stop Allen and Williams, put a little pressure on him, man, I like our chances.
Yeah, I think that Nelson Slay, I do believe that they're up to the task as far as being able to manage Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I think that I believe in our corners. I believe in our starting left and right cornerback. The rest of the defensive backfield, I like McLeod. I'm glad that he's starting to look a little bit healthy. I like what Maddox does in the slot. Not a big guy on Epps. I do worry about our linebackers covering Cook, because if Nelson and Slay shut down Allen and Williams, I think that there may be that may leave the middle a little bit wide open for Jared Cook and, like you said, Austin Eckler. Eckler didn't do much against New England, but he did have like a big 30-yard run play, and then toward the end of the game, they were dumping it to him mainly because New England was playing the normal defense that we do all the time. They were back 10 yards off, and then They were getting it to Eckler. So his stats looked a little bit more inflated than they were. The one thing that surprised me in the New England game was Justin Jackson, who's their other running back. He had a 75-yard run in the, I think it was the second quarter of that game against New England, where he just went through the line and was gone. And he didn't score. He got taken down at like just inside the 10. But they started on the other side of the field, 75 yards, and that's nothing to squawk about. Didn't see much of him after that, so it was like just one of those plays. Mm-hmm. But the Eagles, if they're going to play, and like I agree with you, they're not going to be able to do single high to be able to help out with the run. So it's going to come down to the way our linebackers play, like they did kind of against Detroit, if they can just shut down those two guys. If they treat the running backs of the Chargers like they did Swift last week, then I think that it's about shutting down all of those individual battles. And they shut that down. Nelson and Slay shut down Allen and Williams. Then it basically just puts it all on Herbert to try to make plays to Cook, to anybody else that he can find on the field. And I think that that's going to work to our advantage. I also think that, it like you said, it's key to run the ball, even with Jalen Hurts. He's got to be the one to where the running first has got to be his last option, but it's always got to be the weapon that he can pull out if it's there. And he can't be shy to take off if need be, because what that did for in the Lions game for me was it took their defense completely off balance. It adds such a dimension to the game when you've got guys like Lamar Jackson where you don't know that can pass and run, and you don't know when they're going to take off, because you make the defense tentative. And if Hurts comes out and early, and if there's nothing there in the passing game, because they, like you said, they play up a little bit and they don't allow a lot, their pass defense. So he's going to have to make plays, and I think that's going to be key. I think overall, these are really good keys to victory. I believe in all four of them, and I think if the Eagles can live up to these, I think that it's we're going to be happy come Sunday afternoon. But it's going to be a tough one. It definitely will be. It's about putting that two-game win streak together to win at home. Eagles have not won at home this year, so winning at home is so important. So it's like, where do we go from here if we lose this game? I mean, what do you think where the Eagles at if they lose this game? Not just if they lose it, if they don't perform well, if they come out and perform like they did against Las Vegas.
Oh, I think this could very well be Sirianni's first and last year with us. I think it's a low tolerance in Philadelphia. Low tolerance. And when you've neglected to do so many basic things like run the ball, it's easy for the fan base to jump on you. When you sit there and don't make adjustments on defense, it's easy for the fan base to jump on you. I think if we could see a team that was trying to improve every week, but really what we've been seeing is we don't know if we're going to get the offense that played against Kansas City, the defense that played against the Falcons, Carolina, and Detroit. We still haven't established that identity. You know, we talked about that a few weeks back about just trying to establish an identity And I think last week it was good. We played up. We looked physical. Our guys looked in the game. The pocket kept collapsing on Goff early and often. I think that's where, you know, Goff's weakness was, not his escapability or lack thereof. So that you see that pocket just collapsing. I feel like we confused the line for once, you know, just not this basic four rush and, you know, got a couple. I thought we tried to confuse some guys. We brought some safeties down lower than we normally would. I think that may hurt us this week, but we still have to keep an eye on Eckler, man, because he can just destroy us in one play. You know, 30-yard clip, like you said, Justin Jackson had the 75-yarder. So they do have big play guys, all of them. Mike Williams, big play guy. Keenan Allen is a big play guy. Eckler, big play guy. And they have a willing throwing quarterback. And Herbert can run a little bit, too. You know, Herbert went to Oregon, so I watched him. I even seen him play against Nebraska. I seen him live his senior year at Nebraska-Oregon game. So now I've watched him play personally. He's solid. He's solid, but he got benched a couple times, even in Oregon, because he can be inconsistent at times. So I think we get to him, man. I think we can have some success if we get to him early and often. I really do.
I think that you're right. I think this is probably the most important game in Nick Sirianni's coaching career up to this point, because so far the Eagles have beaten Atlanta, Carolina, and Detroit. It's time to beat a good team and at home in front of the home fans. After the Flower situation, after the debacle against Tampa Bay and the Raiders, we could forgive Tampa Bay, but it's hard to forgive the Raiders. Getting trounced by the Cowboys. But this is where the rubber meets the road for Nick Sirianni and Jonathan Gannon. If they're going to prove that they're going to be here, like you said, more than 1 year, they're going to have to show up, and they're going to have to get the team ready to show up. If the team comes out fired up like they did against Detroit, imagine if they on the road coming out that fired up, come out that way at home, feed off those fans, rattle Justin Herbert, and get in there and make a play. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be a very, very interesting game to see where we're at. Every game seems like a litmus test for where this Eagles team is, and I still don't 100% know. They keep pulling this bipolar act on me where I don't know who they are from 1 week to the next. Are they this team that we saw on Sunday, or are they a different team?
And it's all based off of, you know, just put it in the bigger picture, it's all based off of how the Cowboys are doing. If the division was still winnable, if the Cowboys were maybe 3 or 4 losses under their belt as well, too. But when the Cowboys came out and won that game against Minnesota without Dak, it just made you go, man, they got the NFC East this year. You know, like with us having, you know, so 4-loss difference, and they've had a bye week, I believe. Yeah, they've had their bye week, and we still have a 4-loss difference between us, right? They've lost one game.
Yeah.
We've lost 5. So I think what the Eagles fan base will do is if we lose this game, they'll go, they'll just mentally check off, like, okay, we're gonna replenish our team. And they'll just watch them still root really hard, but the expectations won't be there anymore. Right. We'll just, you know, mentally have checked out, if that makes any sense. Like, okay, we're just gonna watch it because we love our birds. But if we go out here and we can't win this game and we go to 3-6, it just puts us 5 games from Dallas. You know, and the NFC is looking good, where you have the Saints, you have Green Bay. So the wild card slots, they look scarce, you know, as you go down. And that's my problem, because obviously we don't win the division. We need a wild card spot. Well, then, okay, what two other non-division winners are we better than?
Right.
Is the question.
Good
call. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we're the 6th best team in the NFC right now. So that's just really my stance on it, man. It's just overall, I think we'll mentally check out, try to get us a draft pick or so. Speaking of draft picks, you see about, they think about benching Wentz. No. So we don't get a first-round draft pick because they're losing. We had $128 million for Wentz. I've seen this, read this article where Indy, because they may not win a division, they want to tank, because I think depending on how they fare, depends on determine the pick that we get.
Right.
And it's the rate that they're going now, we get a first-round pick, and they don't want to do that or something.
If he plays 70% of the snaps for Indy, then we get their number one. Or if he play, or 75%, if he's 70 and they make the playoffs, we get their number one. So
That's what it is.
So right now he's played near 100% of their snaps. If you look, there's a tracker out online. You can find it. It's great.
Is it?
The Eagles fans, you got to love them. They put out something just to show his percentage where it's at right now.
Oh, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. So it's a thing is if the Colts sit him now, then they're clearly doing it to avoid that number one. But it's too early for that. So they really have to make a decision. Because if they wait too late, he could still add up to 75% of their snaps. Now, they got the Jets this weekend. You can't bench Wentz when you're playing the Jets because you still have a shot. They still have a shot. They just had won three games in a row before they lost last week. So, and that was a close game. So, they gotta go for it, I think. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Wentz. If we don't get that number one, whatever. You know, I think, hey, maybe we package a number one and a number two and make a play. Well, actually, Russell Wilson's a free agent next year, right?
Sheesh. That'll be insane.
Yeah, so maybe we don't even have to package a deal. We just sign Russell Wilson to a big contract and then draft the supporting cast around him. We'll see. I don't know. Well, first of all, we have to convince Russell Wilson to come to Philadelphia.
Yeah,
and exactly. Right now with this organization, I don't know if that's going to be easy.
He may want to go to a franchise that has a little more hope but just needs a quarterback like Pittsburgh or something.
I actually think we're that franchise.
Just on a team out there.
Yeah, I think that we're that franchise that I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is the problem. I'm not. I'm definitely not. Mm-hmm. But I do think this team is as good as Seattle right now, and that if Russell Wilson was on this team, our record would be definitely significantly higher because I think he's going to get more out of his receivers than Hurts has. But Hurts is still young, so I don't want
to put especially if we're not going to run the ball. If we're not going to run the ball, then that's a good point. Then, yeah we need more of a passing. And this one we talked about in the beginning of the year, you know, is Jalen Hurts the quarterback for Sirianni's offense? Because it's still a relationship. And he's not coming. He didn't have a Jalen Hurts where he came from. So,
yeah, I still don't know the answer to that one either. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is the right quarterback for the Eagles or not. It could be. At times he looks like it. At times he definitely looks like it, and I can see it there. And he's doing things that you know, rookie quarterbacks don't often do. Mm-hmm. So he has the potential. And I wouldn't say rookie. He was rookie last year, but technically he's a rookie in my eyes because this is his first full year as a starter. So we'll see. All right, let's take a quick look at the injury report. Now, one thing before we get into the injury report that I want to point out is that the trade deadline came and went, and we did pick up a corner, a sixth-round draft pick from Denver Broncos that is now with the team. Yeah, we'll see where that goes. He's not going to start, but we got something. But we did not trade Fletcher Cox like we had talked about last week. So Fletcher's still a part of the team, and we'll be going forward. We would have had a lot of dead cap money anyway. So it's nice that we've got him for the near future. But they made a move today, the Eagles did. I don't know if you saw this. They cut Eric Wilson from the linebacking core. I think part of this was due to the fact that T.J. Edwards had such a great game in Detroit in place of Wilson. And you've heard, if you've listened to the podcast, you know that Wilson's not my favorite guy. I rag on Wilson and Singleton quite a bit. And he's one of the ones that suffer my ire because he really just can't cover in space. And Edwards has been a totally different linebacker for the Eagles. So they made this move purely, I think, just to make some room and bring up somebody from the practice squad. We'll see what happens. But Eric Wilson gone.
In addition, or did they do it to get Jalen Smith that was cut by the Packers recently?
That rumor is going on. It is going around out there. I don't know what he'll do.
You get cut twice in the same year, bro. That's a red flag.
Yeah, I don't know what he'd do for us, but we'll see if they make that move or not. So anyway, the rest of the Eagles, as far as injured coming up for this week, we've got quite a few questionable. Anthony Harris, our free safety, is injured his hands, questionable. Zach McPherson, quarterback backup. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, which who cares if he's hurt. Jack Driscoll, backup offensive lineman, kind of important. The big one for me on this one is Jalen Reagor with an ankle is questionable for Sunday. We definitely could use him out there. He got hurt in the Lions game. I think without Reagor in that game, it does limit what Hurts can do. And we've got Quez, and I think Ward came in that game when Reagor went out, and Ward played fairly well. I mean, but he'll definitely have to handle the punt return duties if Reagor can't go. So, and we know that Miles Sanders is not going to go. He's expected to return hopefully by week 11. which would be nice if we get him back that soon. So that's what we're
Watkins, I think Quez and Rager are interchangeable.
Think so?
For the most part. I think so. I do. I think Quez is a better route runner than Rager as well, too. He's a little more disciplined when he does have the ball. I just think at times he gets hung out to dry on some of those screens for a wide receiver, and it makes him look bad. But I like Quez. I think they're interchangeable with Rager.
I do, too. Now that you mention it, Rager's got speed, but Quez has really had some big plays this year so far. He's really made his presence known when he gets his playing time. So maybe this helps us. I don't know. We'll have to see going forward. On the Los Angeles Chargers injury report, not much there. Brian Bulaga, their offensive tackle, is on injured reserve. He's expected back for this game, but we'll see how that goes. Justin Jackson is questionable with the running back I just mentioned. He had the 75-yard run against the Patriots. So if he doesn't play, that kind of helps us out a little bit. And their corner, Asante Samuel Jr., and this guy is deadly on the field, just like his pops was. He is questionable with concussion. He's in the concussion protocol. So that could help us out if we don't have to face Asante Samuel Jr. out there. We'll see.
100%. That was the most glaring thing I saw. I said, ooh, Asante Samuel Jr., because he can tackle as well, too. So those tackling corners that can also cover are the most dangerous to play against.
That's true. So that is our preview of the Los Angeles Chargers and Eagles matchup. I think we've said everything that needs to be said. Now it's all left to see what happens in the game and just sit in front of our TVs. I am actually taking a trip with the family. It's for my wife's birthday, which was a few weeks ago, to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We got a cabin in the mountains to get away from everybody. Hot tub on a deck, which I'm excited about. That's what I'm really going there for. I got it for my wife's birthday. But when I saw the hot tub and a pool table in the cabin, so I'm going to be drinking scotch, playing pool, and sitting in the hot tub watching the Eagles. So that's where I will be come Sunday. But I make sure I bring my Roku so I can watch the Eagles down there. So it'll be a fun time. So that when we get back, hopefully I'll be very, very, very happy. Now this week, instead of the stupid news headline of the week, I had to go with another meme of the week. We had one when we did the podcast earlier, when we did the recap of the Lions game. But I saw a meme today that was just way too good that I could not, you know, miss having on the podcast. And this is a great meme if you haven't seen this. It's Jordan Howard and Boston Scott as SpongeBob and Patrick, and they're just having a blast outside of Squidward's house, who is looking on very sad, and just Squidward's has Miles Sanders over him. And that's how it's got to feel for Miles right now.
Has to.
Nobody runs the ball when Miles is in the lineup, and then all of a sudden he goes down with an injury. And it just was timing. It was the thing where Sirianni was taking all kinds of heat for not running the ball. And so who gets to benefit from it? Boston Scott and Jordan Howard just loving life right now. And poor Squidward.
You have to be pretty pissed if you're Miles Sanders. And the one game that you don't play, they just decide to change the entire philosophy of the offense.
I know.
I mean, it looked like a different team out there. I mean, you could put Gainwell in that picture too a little bit. Like, wait a minute. But he got 13 carries himself. So I guess you can't really say that. But if you're Miles Sanders, I think this is what makes Nick Sirianni so different, man. It's because only Nick Sirianni would sit his bet will have his best running back hurt and decide to run the ball and just decide to run the ball for all game.
236 yards. Yeah. Even his quarterback did not have, you know, a great passing day. It was all on the ground. And yeah, so I think it bodes well for Miles. I think Miles is excited to know that this is where they're heading. Did you recognize on the Detroit sideline a familiar face, by the way, speaking of running back?
Deuce Staley.
Yeah, Deuce Staley.
Right. Let me tell you the reason why it jumped in my mind quick is because I said to myself, I said, why is Deuce Staley over there on the Detroit sideline? I was so confused. And when I seen the logo on his shirt, I said, oh, shit, that's right. He's not in Philly anymore. He's supposed to be our head coach. Anyway, that's besides the point. But, yeah, man, it was crazy seeing him. But it got me for about 15 seconds. Until I seen that Lions logo, I was confused as to why he was around so many Lions personnel. Could not believe it.
You know what? I did the same damn thing. I did the same thing. I looked over there, and for a moment, The first thing that went in my head was like, why is he wearing blue?
I was
like, why did it? Oh, that's right. He left. Oh, well. But yeah, it was good to see Deuce, though, because we all love Deuce.
I was going to text you. That's why as soon as you said it, popped in my mind, because for a minute, I was so confused. Man. I could not understand why he was on the Lions sideline, for sure.
But yeah, he was a good running backs coach for us. I think we had successful years rushing the ball with Deuce Daly here. So hopefully going forward, we'll have many more years of success.
We would have been running the ball more if he was our coach. Oh,
you're not kidding. But he couldn't stay once they didn't hire him to be the head coach. So
100%. 100%.
Life goes on. Well, looking at the upcoming games that we got just briefly, in week 10, we have to go to Denver. That's a game that Tubby is going to be at. Lucky Tubby, man. At a mile high, they're going to be playing the Denver Broncos. That'll be interesting. And then they come back to the link on November 21st, right before Thanksgiving. And it's going to be, I think it's right before Thanksgiving. I don't know when Thanksgiving is this year. It's usually like the 24th, 25th. I think it's the 25th this year.
Something like that.
Yeah, but it is.
That's probably Sunday, and Thanksgiving is probably that Thursday.
That's what I think. So they're going to play the, right now, 5-2 Saints. Who knows where the Saints will be by then. Trevor Siemian, gosh, what a horrific injury that Jameis suffered, and so sad, because coming in, you know, and coming in, getting kind of a redemption factor after his time in Tampa Bay, was playing fairly well. He wasn't throwing the constant picks like he normally does, you know, and then he has a bad injury, out for the season. And now they've got Siemian in there. It probably helps the Eagles out maybe a little bit, not having to face Jameis, but we don't know what Simeon's going to be like with that type of offense. They got Mark Ingram back in the fold, which just looks like shades of 3 years ago, where Ingram and Kamara just tore up the league. So we'll talk more about that as we go. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole just yet, but we've got that coming up on November 22nd. Now, the next segment we got here is we're going to get into our fantasy update. And before we get deep into that, I have a TikTok that I want to play for Tubby, because he has Derrick Henry on his fantasy team. And as we know, Derrick Henry injured this week and is now out for the season, looks like. And Tubby is going to be without his star fantasy player. So I want to dedicate this to my friend Tubby. And this is a TikTok that went out to all the Derrick Henry fantasy owners.
And I'll take with me the memories of carrying my fantasy team every Sunday. It's so hard to say goodbye to Derrick Henry.
So that brings us to our fantasy results for the past week, because now we know that Tubby is going to be without Derrick Henry, and I'm sorry about that, man. I don't know what to tell you, but
it's terrible, man.
Both of us ended up taking pretty bad L's this past week. I'm at the point with my fantasy team where I'm at that point where I'm just about done, where I'm just like, I'm just going to put a lineup in and be like, whatever, dude. I have so many people on a bye. I actually went out and got Odell Beckham, and then found out that he got told to stay home this week because of whatever his father said about the Mayfield and the whole not hitting him. So then I had to go pick up somebody else. I picked up the receiver from the Jets just because there's nobody available in our league right now. I did, because I have Hockenson on a bye this week. I did pick up Jared Cook. So
okay,
you gotta deal with the linebacker core.
Man, that's not a bad start from a fantasy perspective. It was not a bad start. Yeah, I left all my points on the bench this week, man. Yeah, I was playing Herb. Our friend Herb, by the way.
I didn't know Herb was in our league.
Yeah, that's Herb. Mm-hmm. Williams team. That's
Williams
Herb.
Team.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, yeah, man. But all my points are on the bench. I had the Jets. Michael Carter, he had 30-plus points. I had Michael Pittman. He had 30-something points. Yeah. I had Tyler Boyd on the bench. He got some points as well, too. So, I left a lot of points on the bench this week, and now I'm just up against a rough week, man. I have three players that normally – started to get a lot of burn from me. I want a bye week for Nat, a couple other guys, but yeah.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens. But I'm definitely struggling through this Derrick Henry injury. It's a big blow.
Yeah, it sucks. It is when you have your number one guy go out, I have Miles Sanders out on, you know, an IR for temporary, but he's not even as big near the impact that Henry has for your team, because Henry's right. dominant. And, you know, right. and Holmes has not been playing up to snuff. So, yeah, it's going to be rough for you. Now, me, I've only won two games all year. I had a team that was auto-drafted because I was out during the draft. So I've had to kind of put things together. And things have just happened. I had Chubb has been injured. I had DK Metcalf on the bench this week. And I just had no chance. I had nobody in there that could score for me. So I ended up losing 106-92. It is what it is. And of course, Jalen Hurts, because he only threw for 107 yards against the Lions, even though they blew out the Lions. Jalen Hurts got me 17 points in fantasy. That's, I think, one of the things that really, like, burns me when you blow out a team, but then I still didn't get the benefit of any of it. Freaking Hockenson got me more points than Hurts did.
Right. That's terrible.
They got blown out. Come on, fantasy.
And
gods.
They ran the ball a lot, and you have a quarterback that can run the ball, and he didn't sneak any of those in for you. That sucks.
It was all Howard and Boston Scott, which, of course, because I've been so busy the last 5-6 days, has been crazy. I couldn't even get in to make a play for Scott, to make a play for anything. In one of my other leagues, gone. I'm in like one of these ones where you have to pay to get free agents and you get a certain amount of budget. Somebody paid $96. We get $400 for the entire year. Paid $96 for Boston Scott. Like, wow. Really?
I picked him up off the regular waiver. Nobody claimed him.
Yeah.
I woke up early this morning, about 2:30, 2:40 my time.
Jeez. I would have taken him.
He was sitting right there. I was amazed. I took Boston Scott, and because I have because Robinson is hurt, I picked up Hyde as his backup, just nice. So I can have some backs for this week. So, yeah, man.
I would have picked him up. I must have looked just after you did, because I didn't even think about it till like 4 o'clock today. And I was like, he's gone. And so I didn't even look. So if I would have thought about it, I would have done it. But that's a fantasy. Now, going into this game against the Chargers, I'm on the fence as far as like playing Jalen Hurts, because I know the Chargers pass defense. I think I'm going to go with Carr. Okay. And then as far as the rest of the team, I don't have any of the running backs. I think that if you're facing one of the worst run defenses in the league, you got to start Boston Scott, I would imagine, because it being at home, and if they keep handing him the ball, it looks like they could get a lot of goal line touches. And Howard, too, is a possibility. So we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think
I am concerned about Howard, but we'll see. I think Scott is going to play more of the game. And Gainwell, she gets more reps this game as well, too.
I wouldn't want to start him, though, because of the way it looked in the Lions. He only got a minimal amount of touches. It wasn't enough to put a fantasy, you know, start on. I think with tight end-wise, Goddard might be a decent play. But the receivers, it might be a little sketchy with the Chargers' pass defense. You might be risking it with Devontae Smith in there if you've got a better option. Quez Watkins is definitely probably not a start. So it's up to y'all who you decide to choose if you have any Eagles on your team. That's just our outlook, and that's just our opinion. It doesn't really matter, does it? So now let's get into the pick standings. I am struggling in the picks, even though I'm still sitting at the top of the table. I went 7-8 in pro this week, and it was my second minus 10 for the week. So you get 10 points for a right pick, minus 10 for a loss, and you get one double where you can use your lock of the week. And luckily, my second place opponent, he went minus 10 as well. So, you know, I'm still sitting in the lead by 100 points, which is actually equates to about five games, right? So it's not as big of a gap as it looks like. It could go either way. And I'm stressed about, because I just can't seem to, I'm overthinking the picks now. Now when I look at them, I just stare at them, and I can't even come up with something, because I'm thinking, either team could win. It's getting into my head, man. I just got to chill. I just got to start marking things down and then just letting it sit. Last week, the picks that I made on the show, I changed like 3 or 4 of them, and I think I got out of the 3 or 4 I changed, I think I got one right. So if I'd have just left things the same, I would have come out ahead. But you know, it's the way you play. It's like fantasy. If you think it too much, you're going to get destroyed. So. But I'm still in first at 220. We've got Dustin Schmidt at second with 120. Tim Case in third with 80 points. Then we've got four people at 60 in fourth place. CJ Clark, Chris Buddy, Roger Adamson, Darren Muir. Got a couple people at 20. Dan Brockman and Cynthia Case and Jason Livingston all at 20 points. We got a big jumble of people in this game that anybody could win it for the picks game. And that brings me to my picks for week number 9. These are subject to change, but right now this is what I'm going with. Because I can't ever stay satisfied with this game. So the Thursday night game, we got Indianapolis at home giving 10.5 to the New York Jets. I'm going to ride the kid White for another week. I don't think the Jets will win this game, but I like what they showed in the passing game against a good Bengals team, and I think they can keep it close against Indianapolis. I love Carson Wentz. I still have a soft spot in my heart for him, but he does tend to make mistakes that puts the other team or brings teams back into it, and that's been one of his problems this year. Whether it's a shovel pass that he shovels to the other team, or an ill-timed interception, or an ill-timed fumble, Carson still tends to do that. So he's been playing well this year, but I'm going to take the Jets getting those 10.5 points. After that, we got really the toilet bowl of the week. We got Miami at home giving 6.5 to Houston. I think they both have one win each, so that's going to be fun. I don't know if I would look in on that game or even watch the highlights, but Miami's given 6.5 to Houston, and Houston has been so bad lately. This is one I'm going back and forth on. I got to go with Miami. Then we got Dallas at home giving 9.5 to Denver. Dak is back, and I think that that's going to make a big difference. And Von Miller, no longer with the Broncos. He's out of there. He's with the Rams now, these guys. So
that's a hell of a pickup.
Yeah, it is, and it's going to make a difference in that NFC race. So, and I think it might even hurt Dallas down the road. We'll have to see how it goes. But Dallas is giving 9.5 to Denver, and I'm going to take Dallas giving that 9.5. After that, we got Baltimore at home giving 6 to Minnesota. I don't even know why I'm picking Minnesota in this one, other than the fact that they just came coming off of a loss to Dallas, and that team goes up and down. They have a really bad game, and then they come back out like Jekyll and Hyde. So they've got too much talent on the Vikings to not compete. So I'm going to take Minnesota because I don't have a lot of underdogs on my sheet, really. After that, we got New England going to Carolina. You got to go with the Patriots on the road against the Panthers. They're really struggling right now. We got Buffalo on the road giving 14.5 to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's just really floundering, so I got to go with one of the best teams in the AFC and Josh Allen giving 14.5. After that, we've got the Battle of Ohio down in Cincinnati. The Bengals are going to take on the Browns. Browns are really banged up. They have a lot of infighting going on right now. Bengals are only given 2.5 points. I will take the Bengals, and I will make that my lock of the week. After that, we got the Las Vegas Raiders on the road at the New York Giants. After the way the Giants played the Chiefs, and I know they lost, but man, did the Chiefs just escape that game. I'm going to take the Giants at home, and I think they could beat the Raiders outright. So I'm going to take the Giants getting the 3 points. After that, we've got Atlanta getting 6 at New Orleans. And I'm going to take Atlanta, and this is why. We got Trevor Siemian played well off the bench, but now Atlanta's going to be prepared for Siemian, and it's not Winston. These interdivision games, especially Atlanta and New Orleans, they always tend to be within a field goal in a lot of cases. So I may not think that the Falcons will win this game, but I think that they'll cover the 6 points. I think it could be about a three-point game. And then we got our game, the Los Angeles Chargers giving 1.5 to Philadelphia. At the moment, I have the Chargers giving that 1.5. My biggest problem with this game, when I make a prediction, and I'll get yours after this, is I think that the pass defense of the Chargers is going to cause a lot of problem for Jalen Hurts if he can't complete downfield. And if we don't get the run game going, and I hope we do, then it could be a really close game, and I think it could come down to a field goal either way. And I'm just going to take the Chargers because I'm not sure I'm ready to trust again. I'm not sure if I'm ready to trust the Eagles just yet. After that, we've got Kansas City at home giving 7 points to Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers is out with COVID. So I would have normally picked Green Bay in this game because of Kansas City's defense. I got to go with the Chiefs given the touchdown right now. And that spread could even go higher. Who knows? After that, we got Arizona on the road, who barely beat San Francisco the last time they played in Arizona. But I'm still going to take the Cardinals on the road at the 49ers, given 2.5 points. I just got to take Kyler Murray against that team. I just can't take the Niners right now. After that, we got the Rams at home, given 7.5 to Tennessee. They just acquired Von Miller. Tennessee loses Derrick Henry. I got to go with the Rams at home, given 7.5 points. I think Tannehill without, when you watch Tannehill and Henry's not firing on all cylinders, he tends to struggle. So we'll see what happens in this game. Then we got Pittsburgh at home playing Chicago. This one is another one that if Chicago's offense was halfway decent, I would probably take them because of their defense. Since it's not, I just got to think Pittsburgh's going to win this game like 13-3 or something like that. So we'll see. All right, so getting into the college games, I've got North Carolina giving 2.5 to Wake Forest. I'm going to take Wake Forest. Wake Forest is ranked. North Carolina is not. I'm surprised that the spread is the way it is, so I'm going to take advantage of that and hopefully get that pick right. We got Auburn going into Texas A&M, getting 4.5. I'm going to take Auburn. And then finally, we have Baylor giving 7 to Texas Christian, and I will take Baylor given that touchdown, and hopefully I'll be right. Hopefully it's a bounce back week for me in the picks because I have been struggling. Hopefully it's not a bounce back week for the Chargers because, you know, they're coming off of those two losses, and that's another reason why I took the Chargers. If they lose three in a row, then their chances in the West are dwindling and chances in the AFC dwindling. So it really, for both teams, this is a crucial, crucial game. How do you see this game playing out?
Well, first, Kuzman thinks A&M will win the game. Old Matthew Kuzman chimed in, thinks A&M's going to win the game. But I have the Eagles this week, 28-24. I think the game is winnable, and we're at home, so I'm going to give us the edge. Hopefully we can get that first home win. I think if we can run the ball, we're going to get the 32nd rank run defense. I think if we can run the ball well, I think we can come out with a win, man. 28-24 Eagles.
And I would probably go 24-21 Chargers. But, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping yours is right, always. And just because I might pick against them. I'm only doing that because I'm in a contest. And I'm trying to think.
I understand the difference.
I'm using my head and not my heart. Mm-hmm. So it's really tough.
When I bet, I never even bet on my teams. Anytime I bet, that's why I never, ever, ever bet on my teams because it changes the way I view the game. It changes the whole experience of it. I don't even like having Eagles as my fantasy football players. I just want to just watch them for what they are and not have, I don't want to be rooting for bad plays to happen just so my guy can get points.
Well, you make a really good point because I do that as well. And when I pick the Eagles, a lot of times when I pick against them, it's because it creates like this win-win scenario. All right. So if the Eagles lose, I get the points for the pick. It's small consolation. Mm-hmm. But if the Eagles win, if the Eagles win, I'll give up those points in that picks game. I don't care. I do the same thing with Dallas. I don't even care about Washington or the Giants. Mm-hmm. But with Dallas, I sometimes double them just so I can jinx them. You know, that's the way a football fan's mind thinks. Is like, man, if I could put a hex on the Cowboys, I'm going to do it. So
I did the same thing on FanDuel. I put $40 that the Cowboys would win because I'm hoping they lose. And I won the money. I was like, I don't even want this money. I don't even want it.
It's tainted.
I do the same thing to Man United. Some teams I do it to. Man United. I'm be honest with you. Man United, I bet against them. I bet with them to hope that they lose. And they've been losing. So that's been working for me. But the Cowboys, I just couldn't overcome how janky the Cowboys are. But I did bet on them. I won $40.
You'd bet higher next time.
No. Oh man.
Well, it's going to be fun either way. You know, it's an interesting season. I'm glad we're doing this podcast because it gives me something to look forward to. I look at the games a little bit differently now because I know I got to talk about them. But it also, win or lose, I'm having fun. So we'll keep it going. I mean, I'm hoping for a win. We win this game. We're 4-5. And we got Broncos up after that. That's
4-5 looks a lot different than 5-5 is a reset.
Yeah, exactly.
So
could happen. Yes, we could actually be at 500 going into that Saints game with the Saints coming to town with a backup quarterback. Stranger things have happened. And yeah, we probably 100%. Won't catch the Cowboys, but wild card's still a possibility at this point. So we got to be optimistic. I know I picked against him, but we got to be optimistic. And we will.
Right.
So you stay optimistic too. If you like the Where Eagles Dare podcast, you can find us on all podcast providers, Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Podcaster, Castro. And we want to know any other podcast services that you're looking for that you don't find us on. Let us know if you have one you regularly like. We'll be happy to try to get on there as well. You can email us at lee.bird.eaglesdare, that's bird, B-Y-R-D, .eaglesdare@gmail.com. Tell us what you think of the show. Tell us about those podcast services. And you can catch us here every week, Mondays and Wednesdays on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, or Twitch. And if we're not going to be on, we'll tell you. So as always, I go to my boy Tubby for the his final words.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
On the road to victory, and go Birds. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Let's go. We out of here.